And on our special report from China, one of the people on the trip with us, of course, sponsored by the Farm Broadcasters, fellow Illinois, I guess, retired farmer, as I understand it now, Dale English from Paris, Illinois. Dale, what prompted you to come on the trip?
Well, as it said in my bio, it's on my bucket list. I've always wanted to come here. My wife didn't have any intention to come here at all, so I just came by myself. I saw Jack Black was on the, or Block was on the trip, and Bob Thompson, two guys I know a little bit about and respect, and I'm just glad I came.
So what, when you go back, well, first of all, give me a brief bio on your background. I think you did something besides just farm, right?
I graduated from Illinois in 1974, degree in ag economics, worked for Farm Credit for 3 years. Never intended to come back to the farm. My dad asked me to come back, but about a year later he had a stroke, and a year after that he passed away. So I inherited the family grain elevator, about 1,000 acres to farm, about 100 beef cattle on feed, and about 50 cow beef herd. So I was a little busy.
Indeed you were. So obviously, as you said, you wanted to come to China. It was on your bucket list. Was it to see the culture? Was it to see agriculture? What was the drawing?
I was really interested in the agriculture. I've been to Brazil twice and seen what they've done in a 10-year period. But China has always intrigued me. I knew they had small farms, but I'd read recently that they were going to move all of these people into the cities and maybe consolidate the farms and have larger farms. We haven't really seen that on this trip, but in talking with the different officials, I think they're heading in that direction.
So do you still see it? I mean, we're here at a very, I guess for lack of a better term, delicate times in terms of, at least in the short term, where we're going to be in terms of trade with China and on an agricultural basis.
Well, again, I also came because I saw that we were going to meet with Terry Branstad. Really admire him, and I was just hoping that we could get something put together, maybe set an example. But in the short run, I'm concerned, like everyone else is at home. But I really hope that they can sit down and cooler heads prevail and come up with a trade agreement of some kind that won't affect all of us.
As you mentioned, Ambassador Branstad, of course, as he spoke to us both off the record then on the record, several of his staff members too, kind of went through, and even though off the record, were you encouraged by what we heard from them as far as that we're still going to need China, but China's going to need us?
Yes. I mean, I raise soybeans, and I don't care what the tariff that we impose is, they're still going to have to buy our soybeans. There's not enough soybeans in South America to fulfill all their needs, and we were told that they're marketing 700 million hogs a year. That's going to take a lot of soybean meal. So, again, I hope cooler heads prevail, and they will come to some agreement on that.
Of course, we also grow a lot of corn in Illinois. Seemingly to me, reading between the lines, that may be one of the markets that could really grow substantially in the next few years.
Well, I hope so. I'm a little skeptical. I was in the grain business, and one of the officials we met with on this trip was showing us how much 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16 corn that they have left over. I can't imagine those stocks are in really good shape. I've read mixed reports at home. I know a couple ethanol guys, and they're like, that corn's too far gone to even use for ethanol, which probably also means the hogs aren't going to eat it unless they blend it. But I've been told locally that they have tried to blend it, and they're not getting very far. The good news, I guess, is they have 50% of the corn stocks in the world. So I see an opening maybe for us to replace that if indeed they have to just basically throw away some of the inventory that they have.
One of the things that caught me a little by surprise was as they were talking about, for example, for lack of better terms, it's almost like they've worn the soil out, that production going forward may be somewhat limited.
Well, it is going to be limited, and everywhere we've gone, we've seen how these cities have expanded, and that's taking up arable land that they had before, so they're actually going to be losing farmland that they could be using. So I think they're still going to rely on us and the rest of the world to help them feed all these people.
And I got the impression that the fertility level, the tilth, the organic matter, that the way it's been intensively farmed, the way it has, that's going to become an issue in terms of yield.
Yeah, we didn't really actually get on the farm where we could look at the soil, and I'm not an agronomist. I had a couple of classes at Illinois, but you're right. They've worn out the soil, and I don't know how they're going to get the fertilizer or anything else they need, the nutrients to build it back up. It's going to be difficult.
And then when we, like our tour guides, many of them were very, very young, and most of them had come from the rural areas. But I was awestruck by the young generation here and their willingness to spend and want more of the American-type culture.
It is amazing, and I know that last year Cadillac sold more cars in China than they did in the U.S., and the middle class is growing here, and they've gotten a taste of our beef and a better lifestyle, and I know that that's something they aspire to, but I kept asking the guides, what are you going to do with 250 million people? What type of jobs are they going to do? I know some's going to be construction. But that really concerns me that that's going to affect their economy, that somehow assimilating 250 million people into the urban economy.
Well, and along that line, like I think it was Xi'an, where they said, although they did annex some outlying areas, but in like 10 years they've doubled the population from 6 billion people to over 12 billion people.
I know these numbers are just astounding. I was in New York City for the first time 2 years ago and saw 8 million people and had a really great trip. But it's like you could park New York City over in the corner somewhere. Shanghai is over four times the size. It's just mind-boggling.
And likewise, the number of and the enormity of all the buildings that are being built, most of them, I think, pretty much apartment buildings.
Yeah, I've been really interested in Shanghai since I read about 10 years ago that amazing figure of 25% of all the construction equipment in the world was in Shanghai. And if you look at the before and after pictures of Shanghai 10 years ago, you can believe it with all of this new construction. Many on our trip have questioned the quality of those buildings. They've gone up so fast, and we've kind of been told that between the lines that there's corruption involved and maybe they're cutting a few corners, but I hope not. But again, the growth is just astounding to me.
And I guess so, the opportunity for American agriculture, you mentioned you've been to Brazil. Who's going to win that battle between for the market here? Is it going to be Brazil or is it going to be the U.S.?
I think it'll be the U.S., but when I was in Brazil, there's easily another 200 million acres that they could put into production. And if they ever decide to do that, we could really be in trouble. But I don't see a bunch of American farmers coming over to China and starting big farms. And same thing in Cuba. I was in Cuba 3 years ago. The state owns everything just like here. Average farm size, 50 acres. Maybe half of it is tillable, but there's just no way that a bunch of us American farmers could go down to Cuba any more than China and show them how to do things.
And what were your thoughts? We went to, again, it's so, I guess, reminiscent to some extent. Maybe they're even farther advanced than we are in the United States with, like, their farmer's market. They called it a wet market. And apparently one just about on every street somewhere here in some of the cities.
Well, I've been encouraged over the years to see the farmers market start in the United States, and it has really spread and taken off in many areas, and most of them are successful. But again, I was heartened to see that this morning. Very impressive. The supermarkets were impressive. It's just something I think they really need, and we need to encourage them any way we can.
And lastly, I know one of the guides that had been on a farm, and his family still farms, wasn't able to get a chance to actually interview him, but he was talking about some interesting things. Number one, his family had raised hogs, and that they're trying to go to modern production facilities like we have in the United States. His comment was, number one, it doesn't taste the same as what they grew. Number two, a lot of concern with the younger generation here, with apparently here in China, there's a lot of pesticides that they may use that are outlawed in the United States, that the younger generation is concerned about their health going forward.
That's very true, and I don't blame them. I'm not a big fan of the organic movement in the States, but it increases every year, and I think it's a valid concern. You want to know what you're eating and what pesticides have been used on it. We're having the same problem in the U.S. with people questioning that. We need to do a better job of educating the public about the GMOs and the effects that they may have on our food. We have proven there are no effects, but we still have a lot of people that are anti-GMO.
Well, as we look, my first trip here, evidently yours, based on what we've heard from other people, could be very interesting to come back in 3 to 4 years to see what changes might take between now and then.
That's kind of what I'm doing in Brazil. I turned 50 when I went to Brazil the first time, 60 the second time. I plan to do it when I turn 70. And I said the same thing about Cuba. I want to go back to Cuba in 5 years and see what they've accomplished there. But the same thing here. It's mind-boggling to see what they've done in 10 years. I can't imagine the next 5 or 10.
And if we play our cards right from the United States, respect them, they could be the most important country to U.S. agriculture in the future.
Yes, I told a few on the bus this morning that I learned the law of comparative advantage in sixth grade, and whoever can produce the product the cheapest and the best quality wins the game. And let's face it, we buy a lot of stuff from China because they manufacture it for us. And I applaud President Trump when he wants free trade, but he kind of wants even trade, and that's just never going to happen. It's not going to be an equal amount of trade. They can buy more from us, and we need to encourage them to do that, but I don't think we'll ever close that trade gap.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see factories open up in the United States doing the jobs that are done here when we have the tight employment that we have right now, and quite honestly, people not wanting to do some of those jobs.
Exactly right. The people here are willing to do those jobs. Hispanics are willing to do the jobs in the U.S., and we really got to take another look at that immigration issue in the U.S., but time will tell, I guess.
Again, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
If you have a chance, would you come back with a group of farm broadcasters again?
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting group. See how you guys work, and it is a working vacation for you. It's just vacation for me, but I really enjoyed interacting with you guys.
Again, our thanks to Dale English, a farmer from Illinois with us on this trip from Paris, Illinois.